Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It's interesting when you live in a place where more than one language is spoken, especially when you're not proficient in one of the languages. You might see people that look just like you, and yet you may not understand them. Not understanding the people around us can cause us to not fully understand exactly what we are seeing with our own eyes. For instance, if we were sitting at an outside cafe next to a table where the people were talking very animated and loud enough for us to hear and sounded like they were speaking aggressively with each other, we probably wouldn't understand what they were saying if we didn't speak their language. Because languages have different sounds and tones of voice, what might seem aggressive to us in our language might simply be everyday casual talk in another language. I remember once hearing that the difference between the sound of the German and French languages is that if in German you tell somebody you love them, to a person who doesn't speak German, they might think you have just told that person you hate them. And with the French language, if you tell somebody you hate them, to a person who doesn't speak French, they might think you have just told that person you love them. Not understanding language can be a very big deal. Within the Bible, the Old Testament is written in the Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in the Greek. And unless we read each language fluently, if we want to read the Bible today, we are relying on a translation into our language. There are Bible study tools we can use to understand the words of the Bible in the original language. Having the Bible in a language that we can read is essential for us to know what is in the Bible. And yet, even with a language we understand, language itself isn't enough for us to have understanding. We can look to a passage from the book of Acts to help us understand this concept. In the early days of the church, Philip was sent to Gaza, where he came across a eunuch to Candace, queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch was responsible for her treasure and happened to have been in Jerusalem to worship. Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to approach the eunuch's chariot and found him reading from the book of Isaiah, in today what would be numbered Isaiah 53, verse 7, where he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch was able to read the words, but didn't understand what he was reading. It was as if, even though the words were written in a language he could understand, it was still like a foreign language to him. Missing with the Ethiopian eunuch at this point was the Holy Spirit, because he could read the words and yet did not understand. The Holy Spirit became the translator to the mind, allowing the eunuch to not only read, but to understand what he was reading. Once he was baptized, understanding came to the eunuch, and receiving the Holy Spirit brought incredible joy to the eunuch. Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way. They came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch was different than some of the people encountered by the early church, and that difference brought hardship and even death to some during those first few years. Stephen, a deacon, was a man full of faith and quite able to deliver a powerful testimony to those not yet called. He showed them that even though the people of Israel had the tabernacle in the wilderness, made exactly like what had been revealed to Moses, and that even though Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, that God does not live in temples made with hands, and instead can be found in heaven. Stephen then challenged the people, telling them that they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, resisting the Holy Spirit. Acts 7, verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he'd appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Whom have received the law by the dispossession of angels, and have not kept it? Hearing this did not bring the people to salvation. There would be no altar call or mass baptism on this day. Instead, the people became angry, very angry, where they were clenching their teeth. The sight of these people must have been very intimidating, and Stephen looked beyond the intimidation and saw the glory of God with Jesus standing on the right hand of God. When Stephen told the people what he saw, there was still no mass baptism as the people rushed him and killed him by stoning him to death. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes as a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The people who heard Stephen couldn't understand what he was saying because they didn't have the Holy Spirit, and they must have felt threatened by not understanding his message. Feeling threatened happens more often than we might believe. For instance, if we find ourselves walking on one side of a street and we see a small group walking the other way on the other side of the street, we will feel uncomfortable if that other group starts laughing because we do not understand what they are laughing about. In our minds, what we observe is that we are walking on the street and they are walking the other way on the other side of the street, and we might conclude their laughing must have something to do with us. Not being right there with them, engaged with them in conversation, doesn't allow us to understand the why behind the laughing. For so many in this world who are not called, they do not understand the why behind our calling or why we do what we do. And some of those people will feel threatened by it. Some of them will even hate us. Should we find that we are hated, that has happened to people of faith throughout history. Even Jesus Christ was hated by the world. Stephen was hated by those who heard him right before they stoned him to death. Even though we live in a world where hate is directed to us, God gives us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, which allows us to testify of Jesus Christ. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I have not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. To the world, the Holy Spirit might seem like an imaginary friend, because they cannot comprehend the spiritual world that is a real part of our life. When we see spiritual warfare in high places, all they see is a world where it is survival of the fittest, where anything is justified if you are the last person standing. Where we have hope of eternal life that transcends the life that we have now, all that they have is their life right now. What we know and the hope that we have comes through the Holy Spirit. And what we spiritually have is so foreign to those who are not called. It's almost like their instinct is to erect barricades between us and them. We won't let those barricades keep us from living the life that we've been called to live, and we'll do greater works than even Jesus did because we have the Holy Spirit, which leads us and teaches us and brings us to peace. Even though we are the oddballs in this world, we have no need for fear. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit is a good gift that we receive from God the Father, and it is a gift that we must seek. If we don't ask for the Holy Spirit, we should not expect to have it. We ask, and if we seek, we will find. If we knock on a door, that door will be opened for us. God will give us the Holy Spirit as we ask for and earnestly seek it. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Having been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, we naturally look toward eternal life and the kingdom of God, and until we come to that future place, the Holy Spirit spiritually helps us in ways we cannot understand. Even when we seem to be facing a spiritual roadblock and are unclear on the spiritual path forward, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Through the Holy Spirit, we have freedom and life. We who are called to live according to the Spirit and not the letter of the law, which can do nothing but convict us of sin, resulting in death. Even though the Old Testament and its letter of the law was glorious, the Holy Spirit brings an even greater glory. Knowing we have this incredible glory in our future, we have no need today to make ourselves to be something we are not. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But of the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Knowing we have the Holy Spirit as we live our lives now, we are to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. As we are led by the Spirit, we will be developing fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if we are led by our bodies, we see that result in our life, as what we do will be no different than what is done by the people of the world. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we choose to be led by our bodies, we will not be in the kingdom of God, and if we choose to be led by the Holy Spirit, we will benefit now from the spiritual qualities that the Holy Spirit will bring us, including love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, quietness, and self-control. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Through the Holy Spirit, we will be guided to the truth, because the Holy Spirit is also known as the Spirit of Truth. Through the Holy Spirit, we will have a better understanding of things to come. John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. It is through the Holy Spirit the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and the love of God is felt in our lives in good times and bad times. Peace and faith come to us through Jesus Christ, but the love of God that we feel in our lives comes through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Beyond feeling the love of God through the Holy Spirit, it is through the Holy Spirit that we can know the things of God, almost like having God's mind in us. Similarly, we couldn't know what a person is thinking unless we could read their mind. With God and the Holy Spirit, we can search the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't just give us access to what is minor or trivial with God, but what is fundamentally important and righteous with God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For whom hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of promise, and by the Holy Spirit we are sealed. If we mail a letter or a package, we first seal that letter or package to secure the contents. And through the Holy Spirit, God secures the promise of eternal life for us. No other person can break that seal to deprive us of eternal life. And if we remain faithful to the end, we will inherit eternal life. The Holy Spirit is like a down payment by God for our future eternal life. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Knowing we are sealed by the Holy Spirit awaiting eternal life, and knowing that no other person can break that seal to deprive us of eternal life, we live our lives so that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We avoid bitterness, wrath, anger, contentions, evil speaking, and malice, and seek to be kind and tender-hearted while forgiving others. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. With that focus, we are never ashamed of Jesus Christ or those who suffer because they are Christian. We know that God has called each of us according to his purpose and grace and will bring us eternal life. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. David knew that the Holy Spirit was good and would lead him to uprightness. David, a man after God's own heart, trusted and relied on God, even though his personal and family life had its share of challenges and difficulties. David knew that God would protect him in time of trouble and deliver him from his enemies. Psalm 143, verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. The angel of God shared with Zechariah that God acts through the Holy Spirit and has no need for might or power, as people consider might or power. In the vision, Zechariah saw a candlestick of gold with a bowl atop, with seven lamps and two olive trees, with one on each side of the candlestick. Olive trees and candlesticks do not convey might and power, but do clue us to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waked out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps therein, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is through the Holy Spirit we abound in hope, having joy and peace. If we look at people of this world who have no joy and peace, they also tend to lack in hope. Sometimes lack of hope looks like fear and dread. During COVID, many seem to lack hope, and many of these people also lacked joy and peace, because many of these people also did not have the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we live in the Spirit. We seek those things which are spiritual and not those things which are physical, knowing that all who live in the flesh cannot please God. We are led by the Holy Spirit. We are the children of God. We are the heirs of God and joint heirs of God with Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, and that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But of the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The Holy Spirit allows us to understand God and what is written in the Bible. Many can read the words of the Bible, but they do not spiritually understand what they are reading because they do not have the Spirit of God. We who are called have the Holy Spirit, a Spirit that intercedes on our behalf before we even know to ask God of anything. The Holy Spirit seals us from the evil of this world. No other person can break that seal and deny us eternal life. We must remember not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a good gift from God, and not anything that we have earned of and by ourselves. And with the Holy Spirit, we look to the kingdom of God, eternal life, and God's righteousness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.